come and take me to the river and make me whole. It's down with the old and up with the new. The heart reset my life, take two. Oh Lord have mercy on this weary soul.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
Aha, it's time for Go Yard, and we are very glad to be sitting right here in the studio live with you tonight. And we are excited about having another great, successful show. 2.5 years into this or more, we'll have our 3-year anniversary in September, Dr. Angel Falzone. And I am Mama Mac, and as always, week after week, it's the two of us, and our format is that it's just the two of us in this show. Yes. You know, in some shows, like our Sunday show, we have several contributors, but this show has got a different purpose and goal, and do you want to talk about what that is?
Well, our goal out there, we're called Go Yard, and we're called Go Yard because that means hitting the home runs in life. And
yeah.
You know what? That's just it. We're a life coaching show. We're out there to help you not only live life, but live it well.
Live it well. And what's so beautiful about technology in this day and age is that our shows are preserved from now until forever. And so they are on the network here, tantalknetwork.com. And at the end of each month, our webmaster puts them on our goyard2014.org, O-R-G, goyard2014.org website. And so most of the shows we've done, occasionally we'll do a rerun, those won't go on, but most of the shows that we've done are on our website, or a lot of them are right here in the podcast. Speaking of that, Bobby Engineer, Engineer Bobby, you so sweet thing. How long do they stay up on the podcast, or are there...
Well, the beauty of the podcast is if you look up in the corner, there's a tab called Podcast Archive, and that goes all the way back to the very beginning.
Aha. So they're on this site forever also.
Forever. Yep.
Fantastic. So Podcast Archive, check it out. And, you know, Dr. Angel, there's so many times that we do a topic here that maybe it doesn't pertain to what someone's going through right then, right? You want to talk
about
that?
Absolutely. You know, we're going through a topic and we're talking about it and it's just not where you're on. You're like, you know, they had good things to say, but it doesn't really affect me today. But life happens and it may be something you're going through. And that is why it's so amazing to be able to go on our website and find our show by title when you need that show.
Right. And on our website, we have the titles. We don't have that on the podcast here. Maybe, is there anything we can do about that or not?
It's possible.
Possible. All right. Okay. But on our website, the titles are there. And I have people who say to me, I went back and listened to that show 3 times and it really helped me. Or, you know,
absolutely.
And I told somebody about the show last week or et cetera. So we encourage you to check out the archives here on the podcast or go to our website, goyard2014.org, and check out all the topics are, we range from all over the place, don't we? We're just like, well, it's like hitting a bunch of balls out in a baseball field.
Well, you know,
they
life's
go
got a lot of things to talk about,
yeah.
So we never run out of topics.
And we never.
We do cover all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely. We're starting a new topic tonight, a new series that's going to go beyond tonight. And before we do and we introduce it, I want to say that people can call in 727-441-3000, Bobby, our engineer. And I wish y'all could see him because he's so cute. Anyway, he's in the control room in there, and he'll answer the phone and patch you through to us with your questions, 727-441-3000. Or you can text me direct right here to my phone, and a lot of you do that, 727-888-4171. One more time, text number, and that's all the time, 24/7, 365, 727-888-4171. If it comes to my phone as a text, I'll be sure and get your question over to Dr. Angel. And from time to time, we have question-answer shows.
We do Q&A shows.
But it seems like most of our questions come on email or or they're dropped on your desk, actually, your literal desk.
I've had questions slid under my door and dropped on my desk. And
that's where they come from a lot of times. But the email is goyard2014@gmail.com. All right, so I want to talk about your credentials before we introduce this topic, because this is the field you work in every single day.
Absolutely.
And you are amazing and accomplished PhD, folks. We are not talking about somebody who just has a little bit of knowledge about these topics. Dr. Angel has the credentials. You're a licensed mental health counselor. You have 2 master's degrees.
Yes, they do.
2 bachelor's degrees.
Yes, they do.
Crazy. I don't know why.
Anything
you get...
else?
Yeah,
no, that's it.
Let's
We're done.
See. And she's a surgeon, a brain surgeon. Yeah.
We're done.
Wow.
Well, metaphorically, not really. Not really a brain surgeon, but anyway, pretty close. My expertise is years of being a pastor and counselor and all of that, and a realtor, but just dealing with people and, you know, especially the pastoring thing for many years. Anyway, we're going to draw on your expertise tonight because we're going to start a difficult topic. And I say difficult because it's hard for people to acknowledge sometimes that they have a bad home situation going on. A lot of people want to present the happy face all the time and that, oh, yeah, my kids are great. Everything's fine. This topic is called Parenting Difficult Kids.
Yes, it is.
And even if you listening out there are a grandparent or your kids are no longer at home, they're grown or something like that, we all are touched by difficult children. Whether it's in a restaurant, and I see this a lot, it can ruin a meal.
Oh, yes, it can.
It can so ruin a meal. Kids smarting off, difficult teenagers, drugs issues. We've done series on drugs and that kind of thing. This topic is not really about drugs. This is about behavior.
Yes.
Right?
And character traits that are just difficult to parent.
Difficult kids to mm-hmm. deal with. Okay. Why are we doing this, Doctor?
Well, you know, first of all, I hear it a lot. A lot of parents get overwhelmed.
Right.
Frustrated. They feel at a loss. They don't know how to change it. They just know this isn't working, and they start to not even like their children.
Right.
After a
while. Yeah.
And with that comes a lot of shame because I'm their parent and I should love them, but I don't like them kind of
right.
mentality. And so what's happening is we don't know where to go for help. You know,
right.
how do I do this better? How can I get this back under control?
And you don't have to name the company you work for, but would you describe what your job description is?
Well, I work...
And why you're such an authority in this area?
Yeah, so I work for a company that works with children and families, and so we deal with parenting all the time. So this is, like, secondhand. We also deal with foster parents and helping them to work with children who've been removed and have a lot of difficulties and
right.
traumas and stuff.
Right, and that's a whole nother situation
in
foster care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that is what you do on a daily basis. You have a lot of people that work under you, and you have facilities that you help to manage. And
yeah, I'm a busy
did I
girl.
Say it right?
You sure did.
Okay,
I'm a busy
all right.
girl.
All right, so Dr. Angel, what is a difficult child?
Well, so when we talk about difficult child, I'm sure everyone gets some kind of mental image of that child in the grocery store throwing the tantrum or knocking
right.
the stuff off
yes.
the shelf.
Yes.
Gonna be a coffee night.
I
anyway,
know it is. Yeah,
so
we have water. We'll get through it.
One type of difficult child is our disruptive kid, and this is a kid that just kind of interferes with family functioning.
Right.
You know, they're disrupting everything we're trying to do. They're kind of difficult to take places.
Yeah.
Maybe they fall apart in the grocery store, at restaurants, or they are loud, or just something that's disruptive.
And
high energy.
High energy. But we're not talking about just a quote-unquote normal kid who happens to have a bad day and maybe gets upset in a store because mom won't buy the toy they want. We're not necessarily talking about that. We're talking about a kid that's more overboard, right?
More overboard by nature. But the cool thing is it really doesn't matter what type of child, like the parenting strategies are going to be the same.
Oh, okay.
So that's the cool thing when we're talking about it. So you don't have to say, oh, well, I need to have my kid diagnosed to see if we have a mental health issue so we can find out how to parent. No, because our parenting strategies are very similar no matter what struggle you're having. So that's the cool thing.
That is cool. And so to the parent who says, I can't afford to take them to a professional counselor, at least start with the things that we're going to be talking about in this series, right?
Right. And high energy kids just wear parents to shreds. You know, they get all the energy. The parents are so tired.
Oh, yeah.
Can't keep up with it. A lot of times it's our boys that are just high energy and we want to, you know, label a diagnosis, give them meds, make them sit still. And that's not always the reason why they're high energy.
Some people are just... is a trend now with meds. in particular, a couple of them, and a lot of people saying, oh, my child's ADHD, et cetera.
Or some other, and they want a med, and they think that med's going to fix this child's issue. And
but
it's
doesn't.
It's
doesn't.
About learning parenting strategies. A medication can help bridge so that that parent can learn better strategies, but medication in itself will never fix the behavioral issue.
Okay. All right. So a difficult child is disruptive, and we've all seen that, like I talked about a few minutes ago, in restaurants and different places, correct?
Absolutely.
And you want to go up to the parent and say, can I help you? Or
really? Because you can see they're overwhelmed,
they're frustrated. Yeah.
Or, you know, now some of the younger parents, they can just shut it out and ignore it, and it's ruining everybody else around them. They've just learned to...
Would you be talking about the millennials that can do
some
that?
Some of those millennials can just let those kids scream. Like, no tomorrow, and...
And like they don't hear it or don't care.
You know, you just go out to dinner and pay $60 and heard a child scream for 45 minutes.
Yeah, so very annoying.
Disruptive children are difficult to parent. Demanding children are difficult to parent.
So disruptive kids, demanding kids, it really bother me. I got to admit that.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about this.
Well, I'm a grandmother. I'm getting ready to have number 12 here, and I am blessed with my grandkids. But I have been around so many kids as a pastor for years, being around, and have my own children, of course, and being around families. And we used to do a lot with friends that had kids and go places, you know, go on vacation, stuff like that years ago. Demanding kids to me are very frustrating, and I don't know the right word I'm looking for. I guess in my case, frustrating, because I don't feel like I could, I didn't feel like when I was around this much, feel like I could say much to the parents because of fear of offending them. And or if it wasn't our family, and one of my sisters gave me, you know, just said, hey, you can correct my child. And we lived in the same town. We saw our kids were together a lot. That was a different situation. But in most of the situations where we interact with another family, where all of us have been through those things, and we're around demanding children, we don't feel like we have the liberty to say anything.
Yeah, and demanding children can, like, suck the life out of you because they're like bottomless pits.
Yeah.
So they're the... kids who want that a constant attention, you know, and adults are trying to talk, and they're the kids that are interrupting all the time, and, you know, don't take those social cues to wait a second or, you know, learn to be polite about it. They're the kids that are like, look at me, you know, so the parents got to watch every little thing that they do, and it's exhausting.
But a lot of those parents do not train those kids to wait until the parent is finished with the paragraph they're talking about or the situation, and they allow the interruptions, don't they?
They do.
Because, I've seen that for years.
And I think part of it is they don't know how to do it differently. And
right.
These kids, demanding kids, just they're going to get your attention, and they're in your face.
Right.
You know, and they're loud about it, and they want it now. They need your attention now. Everything's in this moment. You know, there is no patience and no waiting.
Right.
So demanding kids can be very challenging for parents.
Right. Okay. So do you want to respond to the fact that if you're a parent and you hang out with another family, whether it's your family member or a friend, and those kids are extremely demanding, should you say anything?
Well, it's going to
I'm putting you on the spot.
That is, you know, and I think it's going to depend on the kind of relationship you have with the parents.
Okay.
I mean, I think if these are people you're close to and that you have a trusting relationship, you should be able to talk about this. But not just complaining about it, maybe giving them some strategies and tools to help them.
Right. Okay.
Because they're probably at a loss.
Right.
So a lot of times parents, kids aren't born with books. How do we do this?
Right. And, there's no manual, right, when they're born?
And so many of people come from families that had, you know, dysfunctions and struggles, and they didn't learn a lot of these things.
Right.
So how can they give it to their children? And so going back and learning it, it takes a lot of time and effort.
And speaking of that, a lot of times adults have grown up in very dysfunctional homes, right?
Absolutely.
Themselves, alcoholic parents or whatever, and they didn't see it modeled, correct?
Absolutely. And so when you don't have that healthy parenting modeled, you have to learn it. We have to take that responsibility to go out and seek what does healthy parenting look like.
Okay.
Our oppositional kids, these are the kids who ignore the adult directive. So they're the kids, you tell them to do something, and they just like act like they can't hear you. They're good at tuning you out, and they decide what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. They're the kids that are no every time, you know, you want something done. And parents think this is cute when they're 2 and 3.
Right. It's not cute, though, even then.
It is not cute at 2 or 3, mm-hmm. and it's very ugly at 12, 13, 15, yeah. 17.
And it gets only worse, yes, if it's not brought under control. So, again, what do you say to a parent who's got a 3-year-old right now who is extremely oppositional, demanding, disruptive, all of these things that you're talking about today? What do you say to that parent? Is it time to get a handle on it now?
Absolutely. Today.
Today.
We have to start today. Okay. Because the longer we let it go, the more challenging it's going to be to
right.
get this back under control and rope it around. It's not okay for the 2 and 3-year-old to be demanding or to be, you know, oppositional and think that this is cute. You know, adults, I've saw adults with 3-year-old kids, 2 and 3-year-old kids, and the kid wants to do the opposite of what the adult said. So then the adult learns to give directives in the opposite way because that's the way the kid's responding. But yeah. you're teaching the kid to do everything oppositional and you're
right.
reinforcing it. So the big thing to know is what you feed grows, what you starve dies.
There you go.
So.
Boy, that concept we teach on this show all the
so
time.
So true.
So when a parent is feeding and that oppositional behavior or the demanding behavior by laughing and thinking it's hilarious. Oh, look what he said. And they go on and on and tell everybody. All the relatives, you know, and I ask him, and then he did that. And they tell the story like it's cute.
Right. They're reinforcing that behavior.
I've seen that for years with people.
And then it gets out of control. And then they're in my office when the kids, you know, 10, 11, 12, you know. And
right.
all kinds of stuff is going wrong. So
right.
oppositional kids are challenging to parent. Highly sensitive kids.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
These are the kids who cry frequently.
Okay.
Their feelings get hurt all the time. They're a lot more of the N-word kind of kids. They don't like change. They don't like transition. They shut down a lot. They're the sensitive kids.
Are they just born that way?
Yeah. Some okay. kids, some people are just more sensitive.
Okay.
And when they're younger kids, you'll see a lot more of when you go to tell them no, they'll just bawl their eyes out.
Right.
So then the parent doesn't want, you know, we hurt when our kids hurt. So then they stop telling the kid no, and it gets out of control in other ways. So a sensitive yep. child can be kind of challenging to parent. A child with learning disabilities.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, these kinds of kids, typically they struggle with focus. They struggle with concentration. They're not organized. They can't remember tasks that they should be doing. They don't like school. They typically don't make good grades in school. You're probably getting notes and calls from your teachers frequently. They take a lot of time.
They take a lot of time. And do you find in your practice that there's a lot of parents who really don't want to look at the fact that their child may have a learning disability?
Absolutely, because they feel like it's a failure on their part.
Right. And so it's kind of they're embarrassed about that. Mm-hmm. And so they will put it off and say, no, that's not what it is. It's what? What are they usually? What excuse do they make?
They come up with all kinds of they're just not trying hard enough. They're just lazy. They're just whatever.
Right.
You know, when I talk to parents, it's not that about it's a learning disability. It's learning differently. They learn differently. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I like that. That's good. They learn differently.
And, but we need to help a child learn in the way that he or she learns. And so we need to figure out how they learn differently so that we can teach them. Instead of fighting.
Can you give us an example of that?
Oh, yeah. So some kids learn better, like, by reading. Some kids can read, and they can't really hear when you're talking to them in a lecture. They tune it out. But if you give them print material, they'll get that material, and they'll be able to comprehend it.
Okay.
Some kids learn better by doing tasks mm-hmm. instead of reading or hearing. And so finding the ways that our kids respond.
Okay.
And it's okay. Like, the kids who struggle with reading, like, reading themselves, getting the book and putting the audio on their ears and letting it read to them, they're still learning how to read, but they're getting that assistance to help them through their differences.
Yeah, they're very good.
You know, and so there's sometimes really minor things we can do to make a big difference with kids
right.
with learning struggles, but we have to, first of all, acknowledge we have one.
Right.
So that we can help that child grow and learn. Otherwise, you're trying to put a kid in a box that they will never fit in.
Exactly.
You
right.
know, it's like holding up the size 3 bikini to the obese woman, like, oh, this is what you're getting in this summer. It's not happening.
Right.
No matter how much she wants to get in that bikini, it
right.
is not going to happen. And
exactly.
that is what we're doing to our kids.
So I want to encourage, we got one more that we want to talk about here, but I want to encourage y'all, if you have a difficult child and have a specific question for Dr. Angel. My gosh, take advantage of this moment tonight because she's right here with all the credentials and the expertise, and ask a question. Call in 727-441-3000. Okay, there's another group of kids that have so many behavioral issues. They have temper tantrums.
Temper tantrums, meltdowns.
Meltdowns. Oh my gosh. Can you define a meltdown for maybe somebody in the audience goes, "What's that?" Maybe
a meltdown
not been
is
around.
A glorified temper tantrum
it
in
sure
my opinion.
Is.
We call them meltdowns with older kids, and typically people refer to them as tantrums for little kids, but it's when they fall out. Get dysregulated. Maybe they're crying. Maybe they're fighting. Maybe they're kicking walls.
Yeah, they're laying on the floor screaming and crying and, rolling around.
And as they get older, it becomes cursing and holes through your walls. And, I go into a lot of homes that have holes. How do those holes get there? Oh, my son got angry.
Yeah.
That was a tantrum. That was a meltdown.
Right.
Oh, that's okay.
Right.
Well, that's just how he does it.
Well, in on that regard, there are some families and a lot of them where the dad acts that way himself.
Ooh,
and
puts, we are going to get into that too. You're right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because they're modeling, again, the word that's coming to me is so often kids model from the parents and those around them, the grandparents, how they behave, how dad handles a bad day. Does he come in and kick the dog? Well, then it's okay for me to kick the dog. I mean,
Absolutely. And kids learn to do what we do, not what we say to do.
That's right.
So our actions are very important, and we're definitely going to look into that as we find some of our strategies for how to deal with these difficult kids, because there's a lot of classes of difficult kids that we may be dealing with, and maybe a mixture. A lot of kids fit in a few different classes here.
And if you don't happen to have a difficult kid, you'll probably be a grandparent of one or know somebody near you that has a difficult kid. So this is a great topic for us to discuss on Go Yard because it helps us with our daily living. And I've been in situations where, people really would even ask, well, how would you handle this,
Absolutely.
Because they're looking for help.
Oh, yes. Parents who have struggles in the home, they may not want to admit it too loudly, but they're desperate to make it better.
And if you're one of those out there or you know somebody who is, give them a call and tell them to tune in to the show right now. We're on 106.1 FM in the Tampa Bay area, 104.3 FM in the Tampa Bay area, and, of course, our 3 a.m. stations, 1340, 1350, and 1400, along with the fact that this show will be heard at noon Saturday and Sunday on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. There's so many ways to hear these shows. Let's go to our break. We'll be right back. Call a friend. Have them tune in. Don't go anywhere. My heart and my head. Now I'm starting to see. Maybe it's got nothing to do with me. Fathers, be good to your daughters. Daughters will love like you do. Girls become lovers who turn into mothers. So mothers, be good to your daughters too.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rettenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them
Love that song.
Me too.
That was a good selection. You and Bobby do our music, Dr. Angel, and there you guys are always great. I want to say a couple things about our commercials that we've done now for 2.5 years. Megan Kramer is a part of our radio family and team on Sunday afternoon on our Sunday show at 3 o'clock. And her Plexus business is really good. And it's a great product. So people, you know, write her the address down and email and get a hold of her. The real estate is me, actually. And you knew that, Bobby. 25 years plus of doing this. So anybody out there that wants to buy or sell a house, of course, give me a call. My information's on that ad. But, you know, it's important. And any of you out there that have a business you would like to promote, our rates are extremely low. And actually, you can get a lot of commercials for like 6 months that are just very, very reasonable. So just shoot me an email on our GoYard site, goyard2014@gmail.com, or the text number 727-888-4171 and ask for the rates, and we can get your commercial on here. And these ads go out to a lot of people in 5 different stations right here. So that was just, I never say that, but it's important, you know, that people have the opportunity to advertise with us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, all right, we are talking about parenting difficult kids. And we just talked about some of the difficult children, disruptive and demanding and oppositional and highly sensitive and all that. Go ahead with all this, where you were when we went to break.
Okay, well, we identified all different kinds of difficulties in children that we may be dealing with. And a lot of times as parents, it's easy to get wrapped up and focus on the negative of this difficult behavior and focus on being overwhelmed because you probably are feeling that way.
Yes.
It's normal and natural. But I want you to keep in mind that there are good things that come from difficult behavior as well.
Okay.
It's not all negative.
All right. That's encouraging.
That is very encouraging.
Enlighten us, Dr. Angel.
So a lot of the times that the characteristics that make parenting a child challenging can be a benefit to that child as they grow and become an adult. So that demanding kid who may be a demanding 2-, 3-, and 5-year-old and wanting attention may be a highly successful business owner or CEO of a corporation because those are some of those traits that get people more successful in life.
Right.
You know, and so looking at some of these struggles may be some of the things that they will need as an adult to become successful.
So you're saying we got to be careful that we don't squelch
who that child is.
Who that child is becoming, right? And somehow help them manage?
You said this very well, yes. You know, we want to learn to parent our child, but we don't want to suffocate who our child is in
exactly.
the process.
Right.
And so a lot of times parents would just get so frustrated with these characteristics. Some of them are personality traits. Demanding is a personality trait.
Yeah.
Some of them are learned behavior. Some of them are, you know, different parts. But all of these can be some positives that come out from, you know, the oppositional kid is usually not going to be the kid that falls into peer pressure in adulthood because they can say no.
Right.
You know, so there are some good attributes to this that can be fostered.
But the kid that gets his way all the time by having a temper tantrum and a meltdown in public and whatever and then gets the toy because he screamed.
Right, that's negative reinforcement.
And that will cause problems as an adult.
Absolutely, that will. And so learning to parent our kids with difficult behaviors, it is a challenge. It is an art.
Right.
It is definitely an art. So we don't want to, as parents, shame-based. Parents are kids.
Right.
And this is usually the go-to.
You need to, talk about that.
Okay, so the go-to a lot of parents have when they don't have a lot of tools in their toolbox is it becomes shame-based. You're bad. You're always bad. Why are you so bad all the time?
You're such a bad kid. I can't take you anywhere. You make me sick.
And
blah, 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 blah. I've heard parents say that in Walmart, et cetera, for years, you know, the shame-based, yes.
They are speaking,
listen
to this child. You're affecting their self-esteem.
Right.
You're crushing their spirits. you know, and you're growing bad behavior because the child will identify, I am bad. That means I must keep doing bad things.
Right.
And as they grow, we'll get into more bad things.
And a lot of times that bad behavior gives them so much attention, even though it's negative attention, it seems like kids like this, and I've known a lot of them through the years, they just love that attention. And some of them maybe are, you know, very egocentric children.
Children are always egocentric
this
by nature.
That's true. You're right. Yeah.
You know, and that's where they are.
Narcissistic, I guess.
Yeah,
That kind of a trait that's being developed at a younger age. How do we avoid, as parents and grandparents, from allowing that child to become that way, but yet allowing him the independence to be who he is becoming? That is a very good question, and I just ask it to you. So what is the answer, Dr. Angel?
Well, the answer is it is an art of learning to parent, and we're going to really dive into how you do that. It's not a one-word answer or a single-sentence answer to how
really
we do
isn't.
That. But how we do this is important to learn that we need to have tools in our toolbox, because when we don't, we usually do the wrong thing, and we usually grow the behavior we don't want.
Okay.
And let's face it, parents, you're busy. A lot of single parent households out there.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you have two incomes, you're probably still struggling with time and money and house and kids and whatever other, you know, things you have going on. And when do kids get attention from us as parents?
Right.
When they're acting up.
When they're acting up, yeah.
Because usually when they're behaving, we can get done. You know, we can cook our dinners and clean the house and life is good. So we have to watch, when do I give my child attention?
Right.
Do they only get it when they're acting up? Well, they're acting up to tell. That's how they're telling you, I need time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need your time.
Right. And so when that is the case and they're trying to get you to notice them or whatever, how do you handle that?
Well, there's a lot of great ways to handle that. But one thing you have to start doing is giving them attention when they are acting good.
Aha. Uh-huh. So you're reinforcing the positive behavior.
Reinforcing the positive behavior.
Okay.
So we want to foster good behavior, so we need to give them attention. And their kids need our time.
Right.
I know we're sucked for time.
Right.
It's the culture we live in. But
it
we
is.
Cannot afford to not give our kids time. And Xboxes and toys all these things will ever fill
but
the gap of
Dr.
your time.
Dr. Angel, so many parents resort to that, and the babysitter is the Xbox. I've got one of my grandsons has kind of overboard with the Xbox for years, and it's been a pet peeve of mine and a cause of concern for a long time that's how he is entertained night after night after night.
And the reason this happens is it starts sometimes because parents want to absolve their guilt of not having enough time with their kids, so they're buying them things.
Right.
Things will never replace your time.
Right.
You can't do it. It's not replaceable. And so we're giving them all these things, but they just need you.
Right.
And it's free.
Okay, what do you say to the parent who says, they just need me? Well, what does that mean? Am I supposed to just sit out on the sofa and hold them or talk to them? What am I supposed to do? What about the parent who has no clue what to do?
Well, you know, that's a lot of times we don't have any clue what to do. And what does your child like to do? Do we play games together? We play a board game together. We cook dinner together? Do we do a chore together? Do we sit and play a video game together? Because that's what my child do. Can we read a book together? What does your child? Some kids want to just sit on your lap and have you hold them. And that they need that.
They need that.
And
right.
You need to be able to do that with our kids.
Right.
Some kids want to sit down and just, how was our day? And that's why family dinners are a great opportunity to let our children.
Speak about family dinners, because we've talked about this different times in the last 2.5 years. And your family is a very good example. Three wonderful young men, and still one at home, and couple in army in university.
Yes.
Okay, so you got but a couple years ago when we started the show, they were still all at home,
mm-hmm.
and you talked a lot of times about dinner time and how important that was to you.
Absolutely, because
you want to talk about that.
Dinner time is an opportunity for us to sit down and catch up on our days. We all sit at a table.
Right.
We make eye contact. We don't have electronics. And we talk for 30 minutes. It's not that it has to be large amounts of time. It just needs to be good quality time.
So you don't actually allow them to have their cell phones at the table?
Not at all. I will take your cell phone if you bring it to my table. There is no TVs on. We don't have distractions.
You actually have a table?
We have a dining room table.
Of course. I do too. But years ago, when I was real little, it was back years, many years ago, it was the style then to have, my grandparents did this in their house, and so did one of my aunts. They got away from the kitchen table, and they put this refrigerator thing up on the wall. Okay, it was just, this is back in the 50s, okay? And a bar where they could sit at bar stools, but the table was gone.
Oh, wow.
And it caused a lot of interesting behavior in the one family with the kids never sitting at the table with mom and dad. Their food was brought and just put down, usually from a drive-in or somewhere. The food was there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so the family thing was not there. That component was not there. And a lot of it was work schedules, etc.
Sure. It can be challenging, but dinner time is a great opportunity to give your kids positive attention.
Right.
You know, and it's going to be weird and awkward at first, and we can just talk. We can talk about what did you do today at school, or talk about our days, or what we want to do this weekend. But carving out those moments can make a huge difference on your child's behavior.
So for the young family that's just starting out, their kids are little or they haven't had their kids yet, value the time at your table.
Absolutely.
And have some rules there, right? That's what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely. First of all, your children need to learn how to eat properly.
Okay.
I go to restaurants and watch children running around the entire restaurant. It's a free-for-all. That's not okay.
No, it's not
okay. They need to learn
how
to sit and have manners and chew with their mouth closed. And that's how we teach them.
Right.
Is at the family dinner table.
Right. And to use utensils instead of their fingers.
Exactly. You know, when they're little, it's fine for them to use their fingers.
Oh,
but
yeah.
As they're growing, we want to teach them those skills, and that we model it, and that's how we teach it.
We model it.
If they never get to see how mom and dad or, you know, our parents eat, how will they learn to do this properly? And we're losing that art. And I'm telling you, the family dinner is a huge factor to getting your family back together, getting your kids' behaviors to start changing.
Right.
Because they need you and they need your time. They're telling you with their behaviors.
And a lot of times, because they're being unruly and difficult and whatever, they are saying, in effect, I want more time of yours. I want more attention.
Exactly what they're telling you.
But so many people don't, so many parents don't even notice that. Do you know?
No, because they're so busy and they're so caught up with the day-to-day and the mundane and the money and the chores and whatever it takes to keep going.
Right.
But we have to stop. We have these people. Humans are completely dependent on their parents.
Right.
You know, and we need to be with them.
Right.
They need that simple us with them.
Yeah. Oh. So for these difficult kids who don't fit the mold, mm-hmm. quote unquote, whatever the mold is, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we all talk about a certain mold. But I guess it's some expected behaviors as far as being able to sit and eat and not throw a temper tantrum in the restaurant or not interrupt other people or whatever.
And well, you know, life is hard for kids that don't fit in this fantasy mold that we think when we're having kids we're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, when people think when they want to have kids, they think of the child that listens to them and uses, you know, nice voices. They're not thinking of the kid running around, jumping on top of the, you know, dinner table, throwing mashed potatoes against the wall. They're not thinking of that child when they think of a child.
Right.
But they may be getting that child.
Right.
And so these kids struggle.
They
experience disfavor from so many adults. So they get negative reactions from their teachers most of the time, and their parents and their coaches and their Sunday school teachers. You know, they become labeled as the problem child.
Right.
And they see it and know it. Kids have the best detector across the board. They know when things are genuine and they know when they're not.
Right.
And so they take that on. So then they feel like, I'm bad. It's not okay to be me.
And doesn't this grow when one of the parents, let's say the dad, kind of emotionally separates from the child because the child is quote unquote bad?
Yeah, usually the parents start doing that.
Or irritating or annoying. So the dad will just stay out and work late and avoid dinner and avoid bedtime, bath time, all of that because it's too difficult.
The dad or the mom, there is no gender bias.
I watch
both parents do this. And they will. And they start, you know, avoiding that child and ignoring that child. And guess what's happening? The behaviors are getting worse.
Yes. Yes. So talk to me or talk to our audience about if you're in a marriage or a relationship like this, whether it be male or female, either one, and your partner is doing the avoidance thing, what can you do to help this situation?
First thing you can do is we got to label it what it is. Okay, we're avoiding the kids because right now we just don't like
our children. We don't like our kids, yes.
You know, there have been times, I will tell you, I love my children dearly. There are just times I have not liked a certain child.
Right.
You know, and that's okay. And we will talk in those terms as they became, you know, teenagers. I just do not like your behavior right now.
Right, yeah.
You know, and it's not, I don't like you. I don't like the way you're behaving.
Right, exactly. So that's one thing right there.
We need to acknowledge it.
The behavior is not good and acknowledge that it's not you. It's what you are doing and the way you are behaving, right? That's a huge point.
I don't like the choices you're making.
It's a huge point. Yeah.
And that's okay to say. And then we need to find some way of starting to rope our family together because avoiding it's growing it.
Right.
We need to get some time. And this kid needs time with you as much as it's going to be difficult to do because you're not feeling it. Sometimes we got to fake that till we can make that a little bit.
Right.
Because the child's behavior will respond.
So the child that has a parent that tends to avoid him or her because they're so cotton picking annoying or difficult or bad behavior, instead of that going on, just the opposite is the cure. Spend more time with that child.
Yes.
Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Absolutely.
Spend more time with the difficult child. If you're the parent that tends to avoid, ignore, stay out till midnight, say you're working, whatever the case may be, just to avoid all of that, dinner, bath time, bedtime, all of that, because it's so difficult for you, the time is now to get more engaged, not disengaged.
Right. And maybe you come home from work and you go get the football and go throw it out in the yard with the kid. Or maybe we go get an ice cream at, you know, our favorite ice cream shop. Have some time. That child. That's what the child is telling you so loudly, I need.
And sometimes they are speaking extremely loudly.
Oh, yeah.
And they are yelling and causing problems and pinching their sister in the back seat and all of that kind of stuff that goes on with kids because they want you to talk to them.
Yes,
they
do.
Attention, right?
And yes, and they will keep going until they get it.
Right.
And they will take negative attention because it's still attention.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start working on positive ones. So we don't want our children to experience the negative things that happen. You know, when kids are difficult, they know they're difficult because they can see other people's reactions. So they start having self-doubt. They feel rejection. They'll feel your rejection. They'll feel your distance, their teachers, their coaches. Other kids will see it and start pointing them out. They will become, you know, the objects of being bullied, low self-esteem. They may have some depression, maybe anxiety. That's where a lot of social phobia start from with kids who are difficult and they were picked on and then they don't want to be around people anymore because what if people don't like me or they reject me?
But then what about the parent who says, my child is misunderstood at school. My child is not liked. Nobody likes my child. And so instead of dealing with it, they pull the child out and homeschool
them. Yeah, that's like the worst thing we can do for our kids.
I've always felt that, too. I never homeschool my kids. But I know there's people that homeschool and they feel good about it and whatever. But it's been my experience as a mother and grandmother that I've watched families that take a difficult child out of the social setting.
Them.
And now they are more isolated and their behavior is not curbed by social norms as much. Do you know what I'm saying?
I absolutely do. And I am not against homeschooling.
Yeah.
I homeschooled for several years.
Right.
But my kids were involved in a lot of social groups, and it took a lot of extra time to make sure they still had socialization.
Right.
It was not out of isolation. And parents, because they're having difficulties with bullying and peer pressure, they want to keep their kid home, but our kids have
They feel sorry for their kid because the kid's going through a bad time.
Our kids have to learn how to socialize. And by keeping them home, you're reinforcing that anxiety about being around other people.
Right.
We can't do that either.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Here's the kicker. I know we're coming to this. Wow, this hour's just flown by today.
Oh, I know. This is going to be at least another week, probably two more weeks.
Yes, it is. We have a lot.
But
that's okay. Stick with it because this will change your family.
Right.
It definitely
will. This will help you.
Kids just, they do not communicate verbally when they're sad, when they're mad, when they're angry, when their feelings are hurt, when they're disappointed. Typically, a kid's not going to come up to you and say, "Mom, you disappointed me because I thought we were going to the park today and it's raining." No, you know what they're going to do? They're going to act out.
Right.
That's how kids communicate. They can't use their words.
Right.
They go straight into behaviors. And so we have to remember that when my kid has a negative behavior, they are telling me something.
Right. Yeah.
They don't have the adult skills to put words to it. And a lot of adults don't have the adult skills to put words to it.
Well, I was just getting ready to say that very thing. You know, this phrase you use a lot, use your words.
Yes.
And it's a popular phrase now with parenting. But it applies to adults. A lot of times adults are not communicating with the husband, wife, or whatever they are not communicating with each other to say, wait a minute, here's what Johnny needs. He needs more time with you, Mom, or he needs more time with you, Dad. And there's
Absolutely.
That communication is not happening, and so there's just tension and strife.
And then it becomes discord in the marriage, and the family is just
right.
starting to fall apart, and the child's to blame. If the child wasn't bad, our marriage wouldn't be bad. No.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that so many times, too. And so...
But that's really not the root of the problem.
Not at all. It's a family who's not connected to begin with.
Right.
You know, and so when our child is having those explosive tantrums and those meltdowns and those crying times, they're telling you something. They're telling you, I need your support. I need your empathy. And they need you more during those moments
yes.
when you feel like being close to them the least. So when you pull away, you're amplifying their
right.
problems.
Right.
And so you have to push in even when you're not feeling like it.
Right.
And be there for them.
Wow. That's huge.
Absolutely.
You know, and I guess the reason I'm pushing you on this is because I have seen this for years in so many families where one of the parents, it can be either one, but one of them kind of disengages, kind of just drops out. Their physical body is there some, not as much as needed, but their influence, their input, their hugging of the kids and the reassuring the kid, I want to see you. I can't wait to see you. You know, happened today with my great granddaughters, and I hadn't seen them for a couple weeks. It's the longest I've gone, but they have had company, and so have I. And so they arrived, and they're running. One of them is running up the driveway and jumps into my arms, you know. I said, oh, I've missed you so much. I've missed you, she said, so much. And that is the kind of parent or grandparent we need to be, in my opinion, that we articulate, I've missed you. I love you. I want to see you. Come here and sit on my lap. Let me. I still pull some of my grown kids down on my lap sometimes, or my big grandsons. Just because I want them to feel that love.
Absolutely.
So that's my, yeah. But I want you to talk about that because
no,
we are about out of time.
But you could not be more accurate. That's what we need to be doing. And it
right.
takes effort. It takes time.
It does.
It's not just going to happen.
Right. It's not going to just going to happen.
It doesn't just happen. And we have to communicate, I want you. I love you. You're important to me. Over and over and over to our
kids. When dad or mom sits in their recliner and falls asleep all evening instead of interacting, or mom's on the phone with who knows who and all of that kind of stuff, or, you know, it sends a message to these kids, especially at a young age. You're not important enough for me to want to spend time with you.
Right. My cell phone's more important. This
right.
phone call's more important.
Right.
My emails are more important. Why did we have children?
Right.
We have to go back and think, how do people know they're important? Because they get your time,
they
your
get your
love,
yes.
and giving them a roof and giving them clothes.
It's not enough.
That's not enough.
It's not enough. It's physical touch. It's holding.
Yes.
It's like I was doing with my granddaughters today. Come here. And I'm wrestling them down and I'm holding them and I'm kissing on them.
And nurturing
and
them.
And they love it. And
yeah,
they're craving it. They're craving it and they're laughing and they're loving it, you know?
And our kids are the same way, and
yeah.
they just need that reassurance.
Yes, yes. Sum up what we've said tonight, and yeah, there's at least two more shows of this. We got a lot to go, but I feel good about it, Doctor. I feel like we're really saying some very important
Absolutely.
Things that are going to help people. Tell your friends to tune in to Go Yard.
sum it up, whatever.
So if you are having struggles with a difficult child, if your child's disruptive, demanding, oppositional, highly sensitive, learning disabled or learning struggles, behavioral problems, the thing is we can change that. You can change that.
You can change it.
You don't need a doctor. You don't need a therapist. You don't need pills.
You don't need a pill.
You just need you and some tools that we're going to give you over the next couple of weeks. And just remember that even though it may be a challenging moment for you with your child, these characteristics can be super positive for them as they grow into adulthood. So we don't want to hinder those characteristics. We just want them to learn to develop them in a way that helps our whole family so we can function good.
Right.
And so there are good things that can come from these difficult moments. So let's not shame our children. They are not bad. Maybe their choices aren't super great, but we don't want to shame base them. We don't want to talk about all their bad behaviors in front of everybody and them.
No.
They don't need the shame.
No.
We need to lift up our kids, love them, give them time. This week, just start family dinner. Do it 2 or 3 nights a week and just see
what that does. Start family dinner and start holding your kids and touching them and all that better.
Spend some time with them.
Spend time with them.
And not at the movies and not watching TV.
Right.
Doing and talking.
Right. Wow. Tune in next week because we got so much more on this topic, parenting difficult kids. Tell your friends, tell your relatives to tune in to Go Yard. Go to the podcast here on tantalknetwork.com. Go down to the Go Yard and you'll find the show. God bless every one of you and know that there is hope and you can learn to handle and parent difficult kids. This has been
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac bringing you Go Yard and Engineer Bobby, the cute guy around here. And see you all next week.
Good night.
Oh, Lord have mercy on this weary soul.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.